artist profile of a Japanese artist perhaps you've never heard of. Ayu, you are from Japan yourself.
Yes.
How long have you been here?
So I've been here for about 9 months.
9 months?
Yes.
And you're studying here to go to school, right?
Yes.
At Douglas College?
Yeah, Douglas College.
Yeah, what are you studying?
So I'm currently studying marketing and business and communication because I'm in general studies.
Yeah.
So, but until last semester, I'm taking only English courses and I finished my English course. So that's why.
Good. And then you're going to get into your regular studies pretty soon.
Yeah.
Excellent. And what part of Japan are you from? Where?
So my hometown is near Tokyo and it's called Yokohama City.
Okay.
Called Yokohama.
Yeah. It's a big city on its own, right?
It's a very big city.
I've heard of Yokohama.
Oh, nice.
So tell me a bit about this artist you're going to introduce us to.
Okay, today I'd like to introduce you to a Japanese artist called Yoasobi, and it's a Japanese music duo that has been making waves in the music industry since their debut in 2019. And the first song I'll be sharing with you is called Yoru ni Kakeru, which is released in 2019.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm going to play the right one. This is the one whose English title is Racing into the Night?
Oh, yes.
Yes? Okay. Good. It does come with a content warning about dealing with difficult topics of suicide. I imagine it's in Japanese, so. But nevertheless, people should know that it does come with that warning. All right, so we're going to play this song. Can you introduce it again?
Oh, the introducing?
Yeah, what's the song again?
Yeah. This song is called Yoru ni Kakeru, and it's released in 2019.
Okay.
Get up.
There we are. Yes. What was that we just listened to?
Oh, sorry. What did you say?
Tell us what that track was we just listened to.
Oh, so that was Yoru ni Kakeru by YOASOBI.
All right. And the according to YouTube, the English translation of the title is Racing into the Night.
Yes.
Just for people who are intrigued, maybe you can spell out the name just so the band's name, the artist's name, just so people can find it easily if they're looking for it.
Yeah, YOASOBI is YOASOBI. And so can I talk about?
Yeah, tell us more about the band.
Okay. So YOASOBI consists of vocalist Ikura and composer Ayase, and their music is a unique blend of electronic pop and J-pop, creating a sound that's both captivating and distinctive. And their music is known for its catchy melodies, intricate production, and poetic lyrics. And the song we just listened, Yoru ni Kakeru, is YOASOBI's debut single, and it's released in 2019 and quickly became a hit in Japan and around the world. The song's music video has over 200 million views on YouTube, and the song has top chart in Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. And one of the reasons why YOASOBI's music has become so popular is the way they incorporate traditional Japanese elements into their music. For example, the song Haruka features a koto, which is traditional Japanese stringed instrument, and the song Gunjo features a Japanese flute called shakuhachi. Another reason why YOASOBI's music has resonated with so many people is the relatable nature of their lyrics. Their songs often deal with themes of love, loss, and self-discovery, and their lyrics are known for their poetic beauty and emotional depth. YOASOBI is a talented and innovative music duo that has captured the hearts of millions of fans around the world. Their unique sound, poetic lyrics, and incorporation of traditional Japanese elements make them stand out in the crowded music industry. If you haven't already, I highly recommend checking out their music. Just a couple of months ago, YOASOBI released a song called Idol. It's opening theme song for the TV anime Oshinoko. The song has surpassed 200 million cumulative streams on the Billboard Japan chart and become the fastest song to reach 100 million streams. On June 10th, the song became the first Japanese song to reach number one on the Billboard Global excluding US chart. This song is about the double life of a star in the Japanese idol industry. YOASOBI released with both a Japanese and English version, so you can check the meaning of the lyrics by listening to the English version. But what we'll listen from now is the original version of the song. Please listen with attention to the pop sound and changes in melody. Here's Idol by YOASOBI.
そうで見えない秘密は蜜の味あれもないないないこれもないないない好きなタイプは は花からおまけです。お星様の引き立て役 B です。全てがあの子のおかげなわけない。しょらくさい妬み嫉妬なんてないわけがない。これはネタじゃないからこそ許せない。完璧じゃない君じゃ許せない。自分も許せない。誰よりも強い君以外は認めない。誰も信じあがめてる。まさに最強で無敵のアイドル。弱点なんて見当たらない。一番星をやっと知ってる。弱いところって見せちゃダメ。試しにたくないとこは見せずに唯一無二じゃなくちゃ。いやいや、それこそ本物の愛。得意の笑顔で沸かすメディア。隠しきるこの秘密だけは。積むキャリア、これこそ私なりの愛だ。流れる汗も綺麗なアクア。ルビーを隠したこのまぶた。歌い踊り舞う私はマリア。そう、嘘はとびきりの愛だ。誰かに愛されたことも誰かのことを愛したこともない。そんな私の嘘がいつか本当になること。いつかきっと全部手に入れる。私はそう欲張りなアイドルと知りたい。でみんなのことちゃんと愛したいから。今日も嘘をつくの。この言葉がいつか本当になる日を願った。それでもまた君と君にだけは言えずにいたけど、あ、やっと言えた。これは絶対嘘じゃない。
Idol by YOASOBI. I'm very glad to share one of my favorite Japanese music duo YOASOBI with you today. And you can listen to their music on Spotify, Apple Music, and other music streams. But I personally recommend that you enjoy them on YouTube because their music videos are animated and it's so fun to watch. That's all from me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's quite a good video, obviously drawing a lot from the anime program it's associated with, because you were mentioning when you were talking earlier that it is the title song for a very popular Japanese anime program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so YOASOBI. Find them on YouTube. And who knows, with 200 million streams... and even, I think this one, where were we now? It's got, well, this track, has the YouTube one we're looking at here has almost 90,000 comments, not just streams. People have gone, gone to the site and actually felt the need to add their thoughts about it. And you were mentioning that with this track, there's also an English version. So perhaps they're seeing about breaking into the North American and European music scenes. Already very big in Asia, as you mentioned, in Japan and Korea and Taiwan. Yeah. And who knows, maybe we'll be seeing them here. Very catchy stuff.
Yes.
Thanks for bringing that to us, Ayu.
Thank you.
Ayu Sakamoto bringing us that. Introduction to some up-and-coming Japanese music. Well, up-and-coming here, pretty well-established in Japan. All right, now we have... let's move on to some more parts of our program. This is Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Sometimes the rivers, lakes, and oceans we love to swim in contain contaminants that can make us sick. When rain falls hard and fast, it can rush across the land surface, picking up anything in its path.
That can include dirt, that can include bacteria, viruses, that can include chemicals, things like oil and grease.
Rachel Noble is a professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. She says those pollutants and contaminants can end up in waterways, and so can raw sewage. That's because in some communities, sewage and stormwater run through the same pipes to a treatment facility. Extreme rain can overwhelm these systems.
And that means that pathogens or dangerous chemicals that might have been removed during the wastewater treatment process are not getting treated.
Public swimming spots are monitored for dangerous pathogens and closed when there's a threat to public health. But it can take up to a day to get the results. So Noble's team created a rapid test that can deliver results in about 2 hours. And she hopes that as more states adopt the new technology, fewer people will get sick from contaminated water. So all they take home from swimming are memories. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
Thank you. You're listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Magnus Tiewold. I'm your host for this hour. And thanks to Ayu Sakamoto for that great introduction to the band Yesobi. Joining me now is Peter.
Hello there, Magnus. Okay.
How are you doing this week?
Oh, okay.
So tell me, what's been bugging you about the world this week?
Oh.
Big question, eh?
Well, I'd like to update something that was done very briefly 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I said I was going to try to arrange to interview Alan Sins. He teaches political science over at not Simon Fraser, but
UBC.
UBC, yeah. but the competition. And I actually went in person 2 weeks ago after I had said it, and he seemed okay, fine, sent an email. And then I sort of sent a background, because I had audited. Auditing is that I'm a non-auditor, by the way. A non-auditor, it doesn't take any classes, but he may be in a class.
Right. You sort of sit in on classes, but you're not necessarily.
The concept of auditing is actually that you are taking some class, and you're trying to figure out if you want the next one for the next semester. But this was non-auditing. And Alan Simpson find that amusing on that 2 weeks ago Monday anyway. But he didn't seem too off about having an interview, but I sent an email, a second one, just to establish that we had the contact, you know. And I said, oh, you didn't really critical the role back the IMF, the Institute seems to have gotten years ago. A mainland Chinese media conglomerate had given it some funding. And then he sent it back, says, no, I don't want an interview. But he went a bit further. He said, don't come to the office and don't come to my classes anymore. That's what he told me. And so I was sort of curious, like, oh, really? But I was a bit curious about what the UBC policy, it happened at UBC, so I didn't go to SFU, but what their policy is about auditing. And at the admissions, they said, well, it's the actual fire, regulations are for fire. Because there were we don't like that happening. We don't like that. But
so they don't like people auditing or
unofficially? No, auditing is not really. And I have something else I'm going to bring up about auditing, Magnus.
Yeah.
But in general, it's not liked in general. You got to really, that teacher must really like you, especially if you're a non-auditor, for you to sit in that class. Usually it's not seen as something. But then I asked at I was directed over to the for people signing up admissions, and I said, well, what is the legality? Like, what's the law? There's a lot of things we don't like, but there's no law against it or whatever. And at the end, they said, well, the fire laws are basically it. Like, you can't have too many people coming in.
Right.
But I don't know where that's going to happen with Alan. If I'm one day, he does. I mean, he has to have total attendance for me to break the fire regulations. But actually, I did it once. It's sort of a symbolic task for me to go through his course again, actually, because I wanted to know exactly the entire class.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't there. Oh, well, I don't know exactly what he felt about something because I wasn't there that day. So I did do the entire class. It would be a symbolic thing to go through it again, but I would be up to it as such. But the other thing was that at that time, I basically accidentally was there the first day, and I knew where it was. Right. And I knew the other day, so that was sort of an accident.
Right.
What's interesting, now here's a guy, I'm a bit hypocritical maybe to bring this up, because there's a guy I don't like that much, Abby Hoffman. No, Abby Hoffman did a...
He's the yippie from years back, that fellow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Magnus, you have forgotten already. He used to be really big.
Oh, I remember, you know, I mean, not personally, a little before my time, but, you know, he was one of the big deals in 60s activism.
Yeah. No, I know. The thing is that he killed himself in 89, he killed himself in 1989.
Yeah.
But he was still, you know, out there, and he did a 1971 book called Steal This Book, which is a bit counterproductive, because if he wants the book out at bookstores and people are stealing it. But I don't know. We all kind of that's what he chose to do, which I think is a bit too much. But he actually has a chapter in that book that is saying that you ought to audit courses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I say, there's a lot of things I don't particularly care for, so for them. But I would say if any teacher is really big on Abby Hoffman and they're saying we don't like auditors, or he's actually saying for non-auditor auditors, because he says, oh, don't even enroll, just drop in the classes. He has this rather elaborate thing how to do it. Like you can even get the text, find out where the textbooks are. And so there's something, I mean, I think he's very intense. Abby Hoffman was very intense.
Yeah.
And I think he is in his other views, he was intense. Actually, I got it. I knew that he had done it, and there was a copy at the library here, at the SFU library, which is the best of Abby Hoffman or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it has a foreword by Norman Mailer. So it has Steal This Book and a few other ones. And one thing, the short Norman Mailer in introduction was saying that he didn't want to. Actually, it was done right after he killed himself, but he had plans to bring out the best of Abby Hoffman before he killed himself. And one thing that Norman Mailer was saying to him, do you want to change to what you said about drugs? And I myself have never taken these things, but Abby Hoffman had. And he said, well, in what we know about crack cocaine and all this. And Abby Hoffman said, no, I'm going to leave the statements as they are, because I made them in a certain context, and I still agree with a lot of it. But so that's an example where I don't quite agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't going forth on this, I hoping to maybe have some interviews with other people in both UBC and Simon Fraser in political science. And there's a specific program now which is sort of taken over. But the Malou Institute has sort of taken over political science over at UBC. And it's kind of a specific outlook. One thing that's been going on is this mainland Chinese. I feel the elections, they've been intruding. But for 30 years, ever since the end of the Cold War, the high elites have said we're going to economically sort of collaborate with mainland China. And I think right now, for the first time actually in a while, maybe because of COVID, but they have never told us what exactly happened. I mean, we've asked them questions. Can you give us, can we inspect the labs? No. Well, we don't really want that. Now, interesting, Bill Gates went to mainland China a few days ago. And I don't think he asked them any questions, but he was telling us what to do. He was telling third world countries, you can't make your own vaccines. So, I mean, he was sort of big on the COVID issue.
Yeah. So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Okay, Magnus, have you got a song to send you off here?
Just about. So you're going to be hoping to talk to some profs, academics about some of these issues, China, the World
The World Bank and IMF is one thing.
All right.
Other things as well.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to those.
Wandering Rhythms, Mondays from noon to 2.
Join us in a weekly sample of music from planet Earth.
The strangest mixtape you will ever hear.
Desert blues.
Balkan punk.
Latin funk.
African psych.
Pigeon rap.
And anything and everything else you can imagine, equally represented by all continents.
Because good music is universal.
Wandering Rhythms.
Mondays at noon on CJSF 90.1 FM.
All right, we're just about at the end of our program. You've been listening to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We started at the top of the hour with a big update on the TSSU-SFU negotiations and strike, and lots has been happening in the last week. So thanks to Felix Della Orden, Chief Steward for the TSSU, for joining us on the program. Ayu gave us a great intro to Japanese band Yosobi. she's giggling at my poor pronunciation over there. A nice chat with Peter. And Peter's going to bring us some stuff, hopefully, in some coming weeks on international relations. Let's do a quick look at the weather today for this week. It's pretty rainy out there today. It's probably good for the fire situation in the province. Highs up to 15, down to lows overnight of 11. Very similar tomorrow. Clouds and rain with a chance of showers, 60%. Things start improving on Wednesday, with the temperature getting up to the 20s. And then Thursday through the weekend is looking pretty good with temperatures in the low 20s and sun on Thursday, Friday, and a mix of sun and cloud on the weekend. So some nice weather to look forward to. Thanks for tuning in. Democracy Now! Is coming up next in just a few moments. Up at noon is Wandering Rhythm with Nick Legacy. And at 3 o'clock, it's Typically Tuesday with Leslie Wang. All that more coming up here on CGSF 90.1 FM, your campus community radio station from Burnaby, BC.